Well, this morning we are going to be talking about the third mark of a disciple, which is being obedient to the Bible. And so to start us off, I actually am going to just take us down a little trip down memory lane. How many of you remember when you were, I would assume it was when you were kids, playing the game Simon Says? Did you guys play that game? I actually had to ask my kids if they knew what that game was, because I wasn't sure. Like, you don't hear about kids, you know, playing that game anymore. And so I have a lot of really good memories about playing Simon Says. And of course, it's just a very easy game, right? It's just a very, very simple game. Simon Says, you know, tap your head. And so you tap your head or rub your tummy or whatever. And of course, you know, I remember times of playing this for a long time. Of course, this was before cell phones and all the apps and the PlayStations and, you know, all the stuff that kids have today, right? So, in the last, you know, I've been in full-time ministry almost 23 years. You know, in the almost 23 years now I've been in ministry, I've noticed a disturbing trend where I think far too many Christians take the Bible, they don't take the Bible very seriously, right? It seems a lot of times like more of a book of suggestions than it is the living word of God. And it's weird, as it relates to the game Simon Says, which is a very easy game, how weird in the church today it seems like a lot of times the game the Bible says, or God says, or Jesus says is a very different game, right? If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it. You just have to memorize it. There's all these verses that we know and we've memorized. And to me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, in my ministry now, I'm real focused on the Great Commission. And of course, this is just one example. But, you know, just as an example, how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? And yet it's a very clear command that Jesus gives us in the Bible, right? I mean, we've memorized the verses, but you know, it's just very, very odd or very infrequently that we see people who are making disciples. And I was thinking about this, and kind of as an example, I was thinking, you know, if I told my son Isaac, you guys know Isaac, to go and empty the dishwasher, you know, he didn't come back to me 2 hours later and say, "Dad, I memorized what you told me to do. Go empty the dishwasher." Right? He doesn't say, "My friends, I've got these friends that are coming over, and we're going to do a study on what it would look like if I emptied the dishwasher." Right? No, he knows better. Right? And so I don't know why a lot of times in our churches we think one day we're going to come before Jesus and say, "I memorized what you told me to do." Right? I mean, it actually takes the doing. So this week, today, we're going to talk about this third mark of a disciple, what I'm calling being obedient to the Bible, and I've got three quick points for you. Number one, you know, before we will be motivated to be obedient to the Bible, of course, we want to know, and we have to know, is the Bible the inspired word of God? And so I'm kind of going in a similar place that I went last week. Right, remember the second mark of a disciple, a supreme love for Jesus. We have to know who Jesus is, right? So we talked about, is he the, you know, C.S. Lewis's take on, he's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And you got to determine that first. And in the same way, what's the Bible? Is the Bible the inspired word of God? Is it worth our obedience? And then number two, we must spend time then reading and studying. And so I'll have a couple of quick pointers there, and something that is what we call a spiritual discipline, right? The spending time in Bible reading. And then number three, you just, as you read it and you study it, the third part very simply is, then you just obey what God is teaching you to do through his word. And so we start here, this question of, is the Bible the inspired word of God? And there's two directions that I go in discovering that. Number one, of course, is what does the Bible say about itself? It's actually interesting that, the Bible actually has quite a bit to say about whether or not it's the inspired word of God. And then number two is what I have here, why do I think it's the inspired word of God? It could also be titled, what are the proofs that the Bible is the inspired word of God? And so we start with the first one first. What does the Bible say about itself? And of course, this could be a whole study. This could be a whole, in fact, it could be several weeks. The Bible actually has quite a bit to say. I've narrowed it down just to three passages of scripture, what I would sort of call my kind of my favorite three in this area. Of course, the first one is, I think, our scripture memory verse, I believe, right? Joshua 1:8. And so we start kind of from the beginning of the Bible towards the back. And so the one Old Testament passage that we have is Joshua 1:8, right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So obviously, if we're called to meditate on the Word of God day and night, right, there's some significance to this book of the Bible. Second one's probably my favorite one, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Interestingly, a lot of times in scripture memory programs, they'll only have verse 16. I think verse 17 is really actually just as important because it kind of completes the, you know, you're kind of cutting it off mid-sentence. And so 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is breathed out by God. Some versions actually say inspired by God. And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so, you know, I think without getting into too much detail, those four things that it's profitable for, right? Teaching, reproof, correction, training. There's actually an order there that I've found over the years in the Christian life that, you know, as you're taught, well, then that causes you to figure out where you're going wrong, right? So then you need reproof. Once you discover that, there's correction, and then there's training there, that, you know, training in godliness and in righteousness. So, and I also love, this is the verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. So if you want to be complete, right, be equipped for every good work, you find that through spending time reading and studying the Bible. And then finally, Hebrews 4, for the word of God is active, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so just like God and Jesus are both living and active, so is the word of God, right? Secondly, then, we go to not only why do I think the Bible is the inspired word of God, but as I mentioned, kind of the second title is, what proofs do we have? Again, another whole study. I was just thinking, of course, I'm this goofy, you know, research guy. A fun evening for me is to get onto Google and do kind of a search. So if you do biblical archaeology or proofs of the Bible through archaeology, boy, there's a ton. I mean, that's a whole evening or more. It's really great. So that's where I go first is, you know, that the Bible is affirmed through historical accuracy. And, you know, archaeology is turning out to be the Bible's best friend. I mean, over and over and over again, as they dig up a lot of these sites, they find that the people, the places, the events that are described in the Bible are just as they find in biblical archaeology. A couple of my favorite examples of that. You guys remember in the Old Testament, the book story about Joshua marching around Jericho, right? He's playing the trumpets and all that. Well, they've actually found the ruins of the city of Jericho. As it turns out, when the Bible talks about the walls actually tumbling down, they didn't technically tumble down. They actually have found the ruins of the city of Jericho up here, and then the walls actually went straight down in the ground. So they're down here, and the ruins of the city are actually up here. So they actually just came straight down. The other one that I think is interesting, in Jerusalem, they are building a highway project. And you guys remember Caiaphas, right, from the New Testament, right? He was the Jewish high priest who is said to have organized the plot to kill Jesus. Well, they actually, this was actually back in, I think, 1991 or two, something like that. They actually found what is called is ossuary, also known as a bone box. And so the man of Caiaphas, his remains were in this box. And so on the other side of this box, it's got an inscription of who he was the high priest. And so over and over, the people of the Bible are being found to be, yeah, these are real people, you know? And so certainly that's one of the ones I like the most, right? So also, in addition to the Bible being affirmed through historical accuracy, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible reads as one book. And it's amazing. It's really fun. I mean, there's incredible unity to the Bible. I mean, it's one book, technically, right, made up of 66 smaller books. It was written by at least 40 different authors over a period of 1,600 years in 13 different countries and over on three different continents. It was written in at least three different languages by people of all professions. The Bible forms, though, this one beautiful temple of truth that does not contradict itself theologically, morally, ethically, doctrinally, scientifically, historically. I mean, it just flows. It's just really amazing. Kind of in that vein, you know, the Bible is the only book that they can find that has this accurate prophecy. And one of the things about the about biblical prophecy, you know, I mean, number one, when you read these prophecies, you know, you simply have to stand back in awe because there are over 300 precise prophecies that deal with the Lord, with Jesus in the Old Testament, that are fulfilled in the New Testament. So that's another fun Google search, right? To say that they are fulfilled by chance, particularly separated by, you know, 1,000 years or more, is really an impossibility. So, number four, it's not the, and this is the final one, it's not just the book of the month, it's the book of the ages, right? So, 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that is preached to you." And, you know, no book has ever had such opposition as the Bible. Men have laughed at it, scorned it, burned it, you know, rulers have tried to destroy it altogether, made laws against it, but it continues to survive. And it's as applicable today in our lives as it was, you know, when it was first written. So so what's my point here, guys, in this first one? It's just that, you know, you read both the what the Bible says about itself and the you research the proofs. And this is really a unique book, right? Abraham Lincoln has said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." So we go from, is the Bible the inspired word of God, to then if it is, it's certainly worth our time, and it's certainly worth our time to read and to study, right? So without getting into a lot of detail about, again, what the Bible says about that and whatnot, I thought what I'd do is just give you guys some tips on what I found over the years as it relates to studying and reading the Bible. Because obviously, if we are going to be obedient to it, we have to know what it says, right? So the first thing is just to kind of get in the habit of reading it. And so a lot of times I think routine has been good for me. It turns out, you know, I work from home, and so my wife works full time, and so she leaves, and then my kids leave, and then I've got a quiet house, and I just, that's kind of when I have a recliner at home, and that's just kind of every day, that's kind of where I sit and read. And, you know, the way that I've described it to people is just like brushing your teeth, right? I mean, probably all of us, we don't even really think about brushing our teeth. I mean, we just kind of do it because we've just been doing it our whole lives, right? And so it's just that same kind of thing that, if you can just get into the habit of just regularly reading your Bible, that's, you know, it's a good habit. It's a discipline that helps you grow in your walk with Jesus. Secondly, I'd say just kind of finding the right time, the right place, and what I'm calling the right reading plan. And you, as you guys know, there are tons of reading plans. There's the Bible in a Year, if you want to just start there. But again, if it's, you know, you're trying to read your Bible at, you know, 7 p.m. and kids are running around and it just doesn't work, find a better time. You know, just find a better time to begin reading the Bible. Right place, of course, for me, I've got a quiet house. If I didn't, you know, I'd find a place in the basement or somewhere to be able to, you know, to do it. And then, as I mentioned, routine is just your friend. It's just very helpful. And then finally, over time, what I'm calling take it to the next level. And so on your tables, there are these sheets here. And I give this out just kind of as a resource for you guys in relation to this topic. So this is a very simple, what I call a three-point topical Bible study. So so in addition to just kind of having your 10 or 15 minutes that where you're reading the Bible, this is kind of a way that you can take it to the next level. So this is a really a great way to do it. You can see it's just one page. So let's just say that you wanted to do a little topical Bible study on what the Bible says about temptation, right? So you could, and this is just an example. So you could just do a little Google search, Bible verses on temptation, look those up, write down the verses, and then it's just, what are some of the main facts and statements in this passage? And so this is just a little tool for you to use. How would I explain some of the words and statements in this passage to make them more clear? And then finally, what is most helpful to me in this passage? And then you could just file this away, and whenever you need to pull it out and have information about temptation or righteousness or whatever, you know, you'll have it. And it's just a real simple way to kind of take that, you know, take it to the next level. So after we understand or come to an understanding that the Bible is the inspired word of God, we're spending time, you know, studying and reading the Bible. Finally, then, obviously, we have to learn how to obey what God is teaching you through his word. So Jesus says about this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some versions just say my commands or my teaching. And so later in the book of James, one of my favorite passages about this, James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. And so, I mean, you can imagine this from a parent perspective, right? And I mean, just like me telling Isaac to go down and empty the dishwasher, if he continually didn't do what I was telling him to do, it would be frustrating, right? And so in the same way, I think God gives us the Bible not just to read, but to, I mean, it adds to our lives. It, you know, it gives direction to our lives. And so, you know, I was thinking of some examples of kind of how we may run into times that we have to decide if we're going to obey the Bible or not. And so I was thinking about, you know, something actually that happened to me before I was in full-time ministry. I sold copiers for a while. And so, this was before the days where the copiers were all connected to the networks and all this stuff. But, you know, we were out of town at a conference, and some of the work guys, you know, we were working during the day, and then at night, they wanted to go to the strip club, right? And so I was a new Christian, and but you know, you guys all have these kinds of things, right? Where you have to decide, what am I going to say to these guys? I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to, you know, some ways we don't want to be that guy that has to say no to those kinds of things. On the other hand, right, if you spend time studying and reading the Bible, you know, verses like these come up, right? 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals, right? My favorite verse in this area. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a good, from a pure heart. And so I'm going, yeah, there's nothing going to be pure about my heart if I go to the strip club with these guys. That's not going to be good for anybody. And so sometimes, you know, in terms of obedience, it is that studying and knowing the Bible that we go, God will recall those things in our minds, and we'll go, you know, guys, I'm just going to hang back. I just have to. And what's encouraging to me is in these times, Jesus tells us, lost my place. Oh, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And, you know, it's nice to know that when we stand up and we are obedient and these kind of things, you know, there's actually blessing that that comes along with it. So final thing for me, let's just talk quickly about some simple steps on what it would take to be not only a hearer of the word, but also a doer. And so the best way to be a doer of the word, as we're studying, as we're reading, very simply, is let's say you read a passage, and we can go back to this 2 Timothy 2 passage, right? So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Okay, well, first thing you want to do is kind of write out an action step. Okay, the Lord's telling me to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Okay, how am I going to do that? So we write out kind of a little action step. No more going to the strip club with the guys, or, you know, whatever it is. Secondly, you're writing out an action step as a result of your reading or studying. Second, develop the habit of writing down exactly what you intend to do, right? Okay, here's exactly what I'm doing as it relates to pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Here's exactly what I'm going to do. This action step should be personal, meaning it's involving you, practical, something that you can do, right? Improvable, with a deadline. So by, you know, January 1st, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Every application should involve either your relationship to God, your relationship to others, or your personal character. So in this case, with the fleeing youthful passions, maybe you combine that with, I think it was our first memory verse, right? Romans 1:16. And you go, okay, not only am I going to flee youthful passions, I'm actually going to be more bold as it relates to my, you know, my relationship. So that is just one action step as it relates to actually being a doer of the word, and not just a hearer. So guys, as I end and we go to our discussion time, let me just encourage you again to if you have any question in your mind as to whether the Bible is the inspired word of God, not only could you talk to me about that, but you could do, there's just all kinds of resources online, all kinds of books. I mean, that is find outable. It's not really a word, but find outable material, right? That is, you can discover that, and you can do the study. And so I would really encourage you to do that. Secondly, of course, just begin reading and find a plan. Maybe it's a Bible in a year. Just kind of get time in the Word. Again, as I mentioned last week, you know, we spend the most time with the things that are most important to us. And so that might just mean, you know, that fourth show tonight, I'm just not going to watch it, and I'm going to spend that time in the Bible, right? And then finally, of course, just begin to apply it to your life and to begin obey it. So today we have four questions. So thanks again for being here, and I hope you guys have a great discussion around your tables.